I'd like to ask two questions this morning. The first, do you truly serve Jesus Christ in your life? And number two, do you really believe that living the Christian life is the best life to live? Not the second, not the third best life, but do you really believe that the Christian life is the best life to live? Last year, as a junior in college, I began to formulate an idea that I thought would be a very powerful way to serve Jesus Christ. I began to formulate an idea about an outreach in downtown Chicago where we would try to get a few churches involved, and their youth groups would go out and invite their unsaved friends, come together in a park in the city of Chicago, and have an outreach celebration event. Well, before I really seriously considered this, I began to pray to God and say, God, if we are to do this, I need certain signs that this should come to pass. One of those signs, I said, is that within the next 2 weeks, there would be two young men that would come up to me and they'd say, John, next year we want to work with you in some type of outreach event. I didn't think it would happen. About 2 days before that 2 weeks were up, two young men came into my room and said, John, we want to work with you in an outreach event. I said, okay. I said, I'd like to have another request. Praying to God now. This time we need to find a park, and somehow we need to get a park permit that would allow a religious event to occur on this park. I didn't think it would happen. It happened. We found the right park, the right setting, the right location. And not only that, usually you can't get a religious permit, but the guy who we talked to on the day that we came, he was not a regular worker there, and he didn't know what he was doing. And he kind of just gave us a permit. Sure, have a great time, guys, he said. I said, okay. One more variable. I said we had to get at least two churches committed within their youth groups, that they and their youth groups would work hard, they'd be involved, and that they would also go out and invite their unsaved friends. I didn't think it would happen. Well, we went down in Chicago and talked to one youth man. He said, you guys don't need to go any further. I'm the man. I know every single major evangelical youth minister within the area of the park which you're located. And I will talk to them. I will get my youth group involved. You've come to the right person. I was ecstatic. It looked like this was going to be a powerful event and a service for Jesus Christ. The reason why I ask, do you truly serve Jesus Christ, is I believe in North America evangelicalism that many times we misconstrue what it means to truly serve the same Jesus Christ who walked and rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. When I began to go through this, I began to think in my mind, well, what would happen if this happened in North America in 1987? You know what it'd be like? I really don't think Christ would come in humbleness and meekness on a donkey going into Jerusalem. If it happened today, you know what it'd be like in North America? Well, there would be cameras, there would be spotlights, there would be news reporters and satellite network agencies. He would come in on a great white horse, Christ would be in shining armor, and he would have triumph over the Roman government. This morning I'd like to focus on the person of Christ and how we as his people should follow him and how we have the opportunity to serve him. I know no better picture than the 23rd Psalm. If you have your Bible, please turn there with me. Psalm 23. I believe we get a realistic picture of who Jesus Christ is, the Good Shepherd, and how we as His sheep can follow Him in our everyday life. Psalm 23 is the Psalm of life. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a familiar verse, a familiar phrase. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Before we can begin to serve Jesus Christ, the same one who came into Jerusalem on a donkey, and before we can effectively say with confidence the Christian life is the best life to live, we need to acknowledge verse 1 in our life. And there's one word here that's a powerful statement. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist David did not say the Lord is the shepherd. The psalmist David did not say the Lord is a shepherd. Rather, the psalmist David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And that makes all the difference in the world. In South Florida, where I live now, we've had at some different times some beach evangelistic outreach efforts. And we go on the wild beaches of South Florida. We get a whole college and career group class and go out on different Saturdays. And I began to organize this thing, and I began to think to myself, these wild, decadent, crazy people in South Florida, these guys are not going to believe in God. They're not going to believe in Christ. They're not going to believe in anything. And we tried to organize some surveys because we didn't want to walk around and tell people you turn or you burn. We didn't do that type of thing. Rather, we wanted to see what are the people of South Florida thinking. Because if we found out their train of thought, we might be able to effectively minister to them. I was utterly amazed at the results of those surveys. The wild beaches of South Florida, where you read about in your newspapers, they party down in Fort Lauderdale while we're here this morning in church. Over 76% of those people said they believed God was the creator of mankind. Over 75% of the people we talked to said that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. Over 90% of the people we talked to said they often thought about life after death. Over 65% of the people we addressed said they believed in a literal heaven and a literal hell. Over 50% of the people we talked to believed the Bible. We didn't use the word infallible. We used the word the errorless word of God. Over 50% of the people in the wild beaches of South Florida. Yet, under 10% of the people we talked to had any real type of commitment and daily walk with Jesus Christ on a consistent basis. A guy called Fred Gallup. It's a made-up name. The great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of George Gallup decided to do a poll to the people and the triumphal entry of Jerusalem with Christ. The people that were with the palm branches singing Hosanna, Hosanna. And you know what? They were utterly amazed at those results. 100%, Fred Gallup found out, of those people believed that God was the creator of mankind. Over 96% of the people singing Hosanna believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the promised one. Over 95% of those people believed the Old Testament was the infallible Word of God. Over 97% of the people thought about life after death consistently. And yet we find that within a week later, those same people who believed yelled, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him." My friends, in North America today, the question is no longer, do you believe and adhere to given statements about God and about Jesus Christ? We have heard, myself and in youth, we and myself have heard,
We know about God. We know about Christ. We say we believe, but unless we have committed our life to Jesus Christ, we cannot truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. It makes all the difference in the world. To be a follower, a lover of Jesus Christ, it's not just adhering to statements and repeating repetitions of phrases and prayers. Do you want to know God? Do you want to serve Jesus Christ? You need to commit your life to Jesus Christ. In North America, we have theological accuracy. We have different interpretations of Scripture. We have knowledge. We have experience. We have examples. But salvation is when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And before we can begin the journey of servanthood of Jesus Christ, we need to be able to say, the Lord is truly my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The psalmist David gives a very clear picture of sheep. And the Bible has over 500 references to sheep. And we are the illustrations of sheep. It's very interesting, some of the characteristics of sheep. We see a green grass. Sheep are dependent on good foraging. The still waters. Sheep will only drink in still waters. They won't drink from a running stream or running brook. They will only drink from still waters. Some other characteristics of sheep, which is very humbling since we're considered to be like sheep. Perhaps the foremost characteristic, as a matter of fact, is that sheep are very, very stupid. I mean, sheep are dumb. There are accounts and records of sheep who will be eating in the nice green grass, drinking in the still waters, and they'll kind of wander off to the side. They might be 100 feet from home, and they have no idea where they're at. There's accounts of sheep, and they'll just get kind of tangled up. They'll walk over cliffs. They are stupid. Another characteristic of sheep is that sheep follow. Sheep are followers. There are accounts of records in the hills of Palestine where there's a lot of cliffs that one sheep will go right on over the edge. And you know, you'd think that that one other stupid sheep behind him would have enough sense to stop. Many times they don't. One sheep goes over, another sheep goes over, another sheep goes over. I mean, they're stupid and they're followers. It's very humbling that we're considered like sheep, because you'll follow somebody. Bob Dylan, before he left his Christian influence and Christian commitment, had a very interesting song. You're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And it's true. This morning, as you sit here this morning, you're following somebody. You're either going toward God or you're going away from God. There is no in between. We also see a clear illustration of the shepherd who's considered Jesus Christ. Stephen Neal, in his famous missiology book, A History of Christian Missions, has an interesting statement. He talks about three religions in the history of mankind that have had a universal outlook: Islam, Buddhism, and Christianity. But Neal goes on to state that Christianity and Christianity alone has had universal significance. The way this is exhibited, he claims, is Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. For Christ did not only have an earthly kingdom in mind, he had a universal vision, and that universal vision was for the heavenly kingdom. And it's changed the world. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, says that I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said that I am come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. Jesus Christ knows that we need the green grass. We need the still waters. He knows that many times we're stupid
and that we're followers. And He knows the paths which we are to follow. In my own life, I fail so much. I just played a tennis thing yesterday and I get mad and I bang a ball. I don't always be a good Christian testimony. And in my own life, many times when I fail, I can only rest assured that Jesus Christ says that He loves me. And He'll stay with me no matter what I do. He knows your need. He knows your heart. He knows your trouble. He knows your pain. He's the Good Shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death. In the book of Job, it's many times correlated with the grave. Here in the Psalms, the shadow of death might refer to death, but many times it refers to severe trials. I remember going through this study and I asked myself, now why in the world would the psalmist David go from green grass and still waters to this valley of the shadow of death? Very interesting to note that in the hills of Palestine and in the fields of Palestine where the sheep are at, that they have to have this green grass and still waters. And at certain times during the year, they have to go over the rocky hills of Palestine in order to get to this green grass and the still waters. And the hills of Palestine are treacherous. Many times shepherds will write in their journals about how they begin to go through those jagged and rocky cliffs. And on the sides of those, there's wild beasts of prey. And they have to fend for their own lives and for the lives of the sheep. They go through the literal valley of the shadow of death. The event that I believe would be a great service for the Lord. And I believed He did many miracles in order for that event to occur. Was it to take place this past fall, 1986? We were there. We had a band set up. We had a drama group and a skit group. We were ready. We had a guy ready to lead some music. We had handed out different articles of information. We had called the man who said that he had everything set up and that the youth people would be there. He said, 2 days before the event, we're ready. We'll be there. The event was to take place at 2:30 p.m. Well, the band was ready. Sounded good. The park permit, we were there. 2:20. Nothing. 2:25. Nothing. 2:30. Nobody. The man who told me he would be there never showed up. I'd seen God work. He had done miracles. There was no one there. I left that event that day and I wanted to quit. I looked on my calendar. I had some different speaking engagements. I said, I'm going to call everyone and tell them I can't do it. I don't understand God and I don't understand His will. Perhaps I'm totally out of it. I don't understand. I'm confused. I'm hurt. I thought God was in it. He did some things that I thought only God could do. And what happened? I'm sure within each of your lives you've had certain events like that. It seems like God's with you. You've lived the Christian life. Everything is making sense. And all of a sudden something happens. The whole thing puts a monkey wrench in the whole machine, just stops. It doesn't make any sense. And in my own life, I needed to go back and find out who really is Jesus Christ. Who's the Christ that came into Jerusalem on a donkey?
He didn't promise earthly triumph and earthly success.
But he said his rod and his staff will comfort you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the good shepherd. He wants to be with you. And he says, yea, though I walk. I can't understand the people who yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna. Praise be to the Messiah. It drives my mind crazy how these people sang Hosanna with these palm branches. And then days later they yelled, crucify him. I don't understand. And yet the Bible says we are to walk. For in the hills of Palestine, when we take our eyes off the shepherd, and there's jagged cliffs, and we forget to continue to walk, we begin to look and we see the cliffs, we see the wild beasts of prey, and nightfall has come, and we cannot see, and the clouds of doubt and confusion grip us, and we don't know where to go. The psalmist David says to walk, to be faithful. Because he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. My friends, when Christ came in on Palm Sunday, he didn't have a vision of simply an earthly kingdom, but he had a vision of a universal kingdom. He didn't say that this life would be easy and that it would make sense. He said that if you want to serve me, you're going to go through trials, you're going to go through persecution. But he said he'll be with you. And there's a future. There's a universal kingdom and it's better farther on. And I can stand here today. And even though some of the events of life don't make sense and I'm confused, I can confidently proclaim that the Christian life is the best life to live. It's not the second, it's not the third. I can stand here and I can tell you this morning that the Christian life and a life of servanthood to Jesus Christ is not easy, but it is the best life to live. To close with this morning, I'd like to go back and look at verse 1. Do you serve Jesus Christ truly in your life? Do you really know the same Christ who came into Jerusalem on a donkey? And do you believe the Christian life is the best life to live? Before you can begin to answer the question, you need to truly be able to say within yourself and before God that the Lord is my shepherd. I trust that if you can't say that this morning and aren't confident in that, that the Holy Spirit has worked in your life, that you might make that commitment this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your love. That love that extends to to us even when we fail. And oh God, even in my own life, I fail so much. And God, I thank you that your great love has given us your Son. And I just pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that we might truly serve you in a way that is pleasing to you. That we might look at the example of Palm Sunday. We might examine our lives and how we should serve you. We thank you for who you are. We praise your name. I just pray even now through the power of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit might move and burden hearts. That even though within this place we know and have heard so much, that if there be those here this morning who have not truly given their life to you, dear Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit might burden their heart that they might not leave this place. I praise you for who you are. We give our lives, we give this time to you, in Jesus' name, amen. If you'd please stand with me, I'd just like to close in a prayer benediction. And then I guess we're dismissed. Thank you for your patience this morning. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion and sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each of you till we shall meet again, until our blessed Savior come. Amen.